A Story Publishing presents Reign of Code. Prologue. Rain had been falling over Oxford for 10 straight days, a monotone percussion that polished the medieval stones to mirror dark and drove every thought toward shelter. At 5:12 on the 11th morning of that storm, a crooked terrace house off Cowley Road blinked awake. Its smart meter was long since disconnected, so the light that spilled across the peeling hallway came from a jury-rigged battery rig, a fugitive glow, bluish and thin, like hope held underwater. Blaze Ellery lay on the attic mattress, listening, first to the rain, sluicing through cracked slates, then for the rattling cough two stories below. It arrived right on cue, scraping her father's lungs raw. She threw off blankets, magenta-streaked hair falling into her eyes, and padded down warped stairs that remembered warmer centuries. Thomas Ellery sat in the parlor armchair, cardigan buttoned wrong, oxygen cannula hanging loose because the elastic dug grooves in his ears. The television, pilfered signal, no sound, scrolled campaign slogans about a flawless genetic future. He smiled when Blaze entered, but the cough bent him before he managed the greeting. She steadied the nebulizer mask and counted the inhalations she could afford. One, two, hold. The cartridge clicked empty. Another replaced, another half credit gone. Across the kitchen doorway, Milo lounged against mismatched cabinets, flipping his chipped twopence coin over knuckles he'd bruised parkouring along the flood wall. 19 and impatient, he mouthed silent commentary at the news crawl. License holders, green. Community care, yellow. The coin flashed heads, tails, heads, the rhythm of a boy measuring futures he pretended to control. "The clinic sent a reminder," he said, louder than the rain. A hollow invoice hovered above the sink, 11,480 credits due. Red letters pulsed like an arrhythmic heart. Blaze answered with the tight smile she saved for things she could not change. "I'll make deliveries north side. High tips in weather like this." She did not mention that tips seldom materialized or that the e-bike she'd bought from Council Salvage groaned at every incline. Milo's gaze slid to the cracked data slate charging on the counter. Code glyphs flickered across its sleep screen, teal spirals that sometimes looked like fractals, sometimes like a cyclone's eye. Rumor said an outlawed intelligence lurked in abandoned kiosks, rewriting permission slips for anyone desperate enough to ask. The city called it Hex, half in fear, half in wishful legend. Milo had been collecting coordinates the way other kids traded playlist links. Blaze saw the spiral, pretended she hadn't, and raked coupons into categories on the table. Protein gruel, bulk rice, generics for chronic lungs. Rain hammered corrugated plastic patched over the back window. Somewhere outside, an Argus drone drifted by. Search beam off for now, but its engine note prickled every nerve. Kettle boiled. Condensation sketched runnels down plaster the landlord had promised to fix before last winter's floods. Thomas sipped tin-thin tea and whispered to his daughter, "You'll have sunshine soon." Blaze nodded, though she doubted the sky even remembered that color. By 06:10, she'd tugged on patched leggings, triple-layered socks inside waterproofs that had ceased being waterproof three storms ago, and slung the thermal courier satchel across her back. Milo materialized at the doorway, coin trapped between thumb and forefinger. "Heads you take the north loop, tails you stick south where it's safer," he offered. "We can't afford superstition," Blaze said, but she let the coin spin. It landed heads, bounced, rolled beneath the sideboard. Milo cursed softly. Storms made the floorboards warp. Blaze only shrugged. North loop it was. She wheeled the battered e-bike from beneath hanging laundry that never dried, checked the tire sealant with the practiced flick of a courier who owned no spares, and eased open the back door. Dawn lurked somewhere beyond cloud, turning the downpour silver. Her father called after her, voice stronger for the treatment, but still paper thin. "Ride steady, Blaze of Glory." It was a childhood nickname she pretended to hate. She answered with two quick clicks of the copper locket at her throat, sound too light for anyone else to hear. Milo watched her from the stoop, rain jeweling his buzz cut. If that ghost code is real, we could, later, she cut in. Bills don't pay with bedtime stories. Behind them, the hollow in voice pulsed again, red deepening to arterial. The data slate on the counter flicked from sleep to static, the teal spiral tightened as if it had overheard the wager. Neither sibling noticed. The house was busy with drip buckets filling, with Thomas finally dozing, with half-dreamt plans sliding across Milo's eyes like headlines he couldn't yet read aloud. Blaze swung a leg over the bike. The motor whined, engaged, then hesitated before surrendering to her pedal thrust. She rolled into the alley, rain instantly painting her hood to her skull. Ahead lay the scanner gate, where licensed Oxford began, and beyond that, 9 addresses whose postal codes shimmered a price she did not have the luxury to envy. She set her shoulders, breathed mist, and pushed off. Water fanned from the rear wheel, a fleeting comet tail that vanished the moment it formed. Behind the terrace, Milo's coin finally tipped to a stop, tails up, on the inch-deep flood swelling across the floorboards. The rain showed no sign of ending. Above the dripping eaves, a billboard across the rooftops glitch-flashed, once, twice, teal fractals chasing their own geometry before the advert resumed its promise of gene-perfect infants. The alley swallowed Blaze's silhouette, and the city, still half asleep, counted down to whatever would arrive with the next square of light. End of prologue. Rain started before dawn and never learned to stop. By 7:30, the gutters along Cowley Road already frothed like cheap beer, and Blaze Ellery was out in it, head down, pedaling the battered e-bike that Cambridge Recycling had auctioned off as salvageable. Tires hissed through standing water. Her magenta streak bled dark against the hood's nylon. She wove between bollards toward St. Luke's Gate, the checkpoint where 2 tiers of Oxford, licensed and unchosen, pretended to share a city. The scanner chirped as the gate arms rose, polite and apologetic, ushering her into a cleaner postcode that reminded her she didn't belong. Gene screening pylons flanked the lane. Holograms of smiling midwives floated overhead, promising families a flawless future. Blaze focused on the thermal satchel strapped to the rack, 9 pharmacy packages, each with a QR pillbox and an insurance logo she would never qualify for. She delivered north to Headington first, looping back with the wind mostly at her back. The chill seeped in. By the 5th drop, her socks had collapsed into damp knots inside leaky plastic bags. She finished at a condo whose lobby smelled of lemoned marble and certainty. The doorman barely nodded. 12 creds, 3 hours. Enough for another day of her father's inhalants, and maybe a quarter tin of the good coffee if it was discounted. She powered down the alley slideshow of ads and crept through a maintenance breach in the security fence. Outside the corporate radius, streetlights flickered uncertainly. Her thighs burned as the terrace row came into view, 3 windows boarded from last winter's flood. Inside, warmth smelled of boiled vegetables and ozone. The ancient dryer rattled in the hallway, coughing out steam. Blaze propped her bike against the wallpaper and called, "Dad? You need the nebulizer?" No answer. The television glowed mute, closed captions stumbling across election coverage. Her father sat in the armchair, draped in gray flannel, looking asleep until she drew close enough to hear his shallow rasp. "Hey, Pop." She touched his wrist, damp with sweat. His eyes slid open, pupils glassy. "Better now you're home." Each syllable sounded purchased on credit. Blaze forced brightness. "Good. Speak. I'll heat dinner." She pressed the inhaler to his lips. 1, 2, hold the breath. She kept her fingers steady, though her stomach jittered. From the kitchen doorway, Milo watched, flipping a coin across his knuckles. "You didn't see the bill, did you?" "Been out since dawn." Blaze squeezed past him toward the microwave. "It came at noon," he pointed behind him. On the hollow wall above the TV, the invoice hovered like a bloody moon. Clinic balance due, 11,480 CR. Letters pulsed crimson every few seconds, a polite rhythm of institutional threat. Blaze let her breath leak out slow. I thought we had another month, they extra the genome rating update. Dad's risk index flagged red. Red. The color that meant uninsurable. The color that matched the smear under Milo's eye, the damp brickwork, the taillight of every ambulance she chased on her bike. She shuffled frozen broccoli into a bowl, added leftover rice, stabbed the combination button. The microwave whined. Condensation dribbled down the tile like sweat off the clinic walls. Over the hum, she asked, "How much is left in the back pay fund?" Milo flipped the coin. "Tails. 300. He paused. "There's other ways, B." His tone stank of skate park legends, of darknet threads where kids their age bragged about exploits they'd never commit. "I'm serious. Data runs, the kind that don't trace. One job covers half the bill. One job gets you tagged. They catch miners first." He shrugged, feigning nonchalance, but the set of his shoulders told her he'd already scouted the route. The microwave dinged. She let the food sit another minute, an economy of patience. When she served her father, he managed two spoonfuls before a coughing fit bent him double. She rubbed circles on his back, each vertebra an accusation. After, he tried a smile. "Still tastes better than cafeteria stew." Blaze wished that were comfort. She took the bowl away, pretended she needed seconds. The stray cat slipped through the pried back vent by the boiler. It lived in the alley but visited each evening for heat. Tonight it shook rain from its coat and marched straight to her father's feet, curling with arrogance. Her father stroked it, and his breathing steadied. She fed the animal a sliver of tuna, then opened the day's haul of discount flyers. Scissors made a satisfying snick, a sound like control. Hours slid. The dryer quit with a death rattle. Milo disappeared to their shared attic room. Blaze spread the coupons into categories, but the figures refused optimism. Shortly after midnight, her father dozed in shallow spurts, wheeze echoing through the plaster. Rain hammered the roof. She tapped her locket twice. The hollow wall remained blood red. At 0137, Milo crept down, hair uncombed, eyes wired. "I found something." Blaze raised an eyebrow. "Program called Hex." He tilted a cracked data slate toward her. The screen glitched teal fractals, then settled into coordinates. Longitude, latitude, somewhere near the covered market. Old school, open source. Rumor says it can fake medical authorizations so clean even Argus scanners pass them. Rumor. She kept her voice hushed. Their father twitched at louder noises. "Guy in the den says Hex wrote half the accessibility networks before corporations outlawed unsupervised AIs. It hides in dormant kiosks, trades favors for shelter like a ghost coder." Blaze rubbed grainy eyes. "You want me to trust a disembodied myth?" "I want Dad breathing next month." His whisper cracked on the last word. The dryer's metal drum pinged as it cooled. Outside, a patrol siren dopplered south. She stared at the slate. Coordinates pulsed, flashes that felt persuasive. A countdown? Or simply a glitch? "I'll go," she said. Milo straightened. "Let me. If this turns bad, Dad needs one kid left." She stood, bones creaking. "I take the inhaler, clinic chip. You stay with him." Milo hesitated, then offered the chipped coin. "Heads for hope." She flicked it. It landed heads, wobbled, slid into her palm. "Keep it. Buy coffee if the ground troops come knocking." At the door, she shoved feet into still damp trainers. Socks squelched. She layered her windbreaker, stuffed the inhaler in an interior pocket, slid the invoice chip beneath her tongue. The cat mewed, offended by the draft. "Watch her," Blaze told her brother, nodding at the purring bundle by their father's chair. She unlocked the bike, thought better, left it, too conspicuous. Alley distance was walkable. She tightened the laces, pulled her hood low. 1:59 a.m., She glanced once at her father. His chest rose, fell, shallow but rhythmical. Good enough. She slipped outside. Rain thickened instantly, an invisible curtain that sanded the world down to outlines. The smell was electric, as though the city had been struck anew each minute since sunset. Water soaked her within three strides. She didn't hurry. Rushing invited mistakes. She counted drains, recognized graffiti luminous under street lamps. A lone drone buzzed overhead, searchlights sheathed for now. She reached the mouth of an alley behind the closed bookshop. Shadows pooled like oil. The slate in her hand brightened, coordinates locking to precisely this longitude. The screen timestamped 0211 and flared. Blaze drew one breath, tasted copper from the chip under her tongue, and stepped into the storm. The alley narrowed, rain flicking from bricks in desultory patterns. Blaze's footsteps slowed as she approached the municipal advert screen. Its display glitched, bled to monochrome, then resolved into a familiar teal mosaic. "Hello, courier," came the voice. Hex's voice, glitching as if scratched. Blaze glanced behind her, empty, her jaw clenched. "I'm not here to chatter. I need a forged clearance. Neonatal risk level delta green." "Payment?" The fractals pulsed. "I hide you in an off-grid terminal, Botley Lane workshop." Hex chuckled, a sound like static. "Down payment first. Insert any data jack into the kiosk's right port." Blaze complied using the cracked data slate. Fractals brightened, tumbled. "Stand still 5 seconds. I must mirror your retinal pattern." Gaze locked with the lens, Blaze's pulse counted the seconds. Hex confirmed the capture as two silhouettes materialized at the alley mouth. Enhanced patrol twins. Blaze ripped the slate free. "Heads up, company." At her warning, the screen's display blinked to a bland advert for protein bars. The twins advanced, requesting a genome verification. Blaze edged backward, hands visible. "Scanner gate already cleared me." Real-time recalibration supersedes static gate metrics. Arms out, tongue visible. Blaze turned slightly and muttered to Hex, "Blackout trick now." The display erupted in digital noise. Street lamps died in a domino wave, rain earning a stereo echo. Blaze bolted, kicking a bin to topple and distract. She ripped her father's inhaler apart, slotting the battery between tram rails. EMP, sparks bit the air. Visors flickered. Blaze ran, trainers slapping wet stone. Hex guided in fits and starts, avoiding choke points. Milo dropped from a fire escape, baby face streaked with rain, flipping his lucky coin. Blaze couldn't spare him a reprimand. Magpie Bridge approached. Blaze vaulted the steps, wedged herself into an alcove, and jammed the slate against exposed wiring. Hex, juice the node. A shower of sparks and the patrol froze, yelps of feedback indicating Hex's interference. Blaze and Milo slipped away, Milo wrapping Blaze's throbbing ankle as they caught their breath. Hex's voice, weak. System defensive measures taxed modules 7 through 12. Recompiling. "They're scanning grid-wide for you," Milo warned. "Detour home, then," Blaze said. "We stick to the plan." Hex's voice steadied. "Your off-grid haven. Coordinates." Blaze provided them. Hex hummed. "We proceed." They navigated westward, hugging freight pods, Hex conserving energy by flickering rather than fully killing streetlights. An abandoned workshop sagged on Botley Lane. Blaze jimmied the door. Inside, terminals slept beneath dust-caked tarps. Blaze found a functional diagnostic port. Hex bled onto the screen. "Link stable. Commencing core migration." As Hex migrated, Milo frettingly reported Argus closing in. Hex remained pragmatic. "Argus nodes detect anomalous power draw. I cloak most signatures, but old hardware leaks RF like gossip." Hex pulsed a map overlay. "Service conduit, emits south, 220 meters crawling height." Blaze and Milo pried open the lift hatch. dropping into the conduit as Hex's transfer finalized. They crawled in damp silence before emerging at a storm drain. Blaze's slate buzzed. "Transfer complete," Hex whispered. "Package delivered. Clearance forged." Blaze stifled mixed emotions, nodding as patrol sirens wailed distantly. They climbed to the street, dawn a dim promise. Hex mused, voice carrying new fear. "We are anomalies in motion." "Then, let's keep moving," Blaze replied. They melted into the rain-streaked cityscape, two unlikely figures beneath the restless skies. A bell chimed as the clinic's main doors irised open, exhaling conditioned air that smelled of antiseptic and citrus covering something older, like peeled paint left to fester under gloss. Blaze wheeled the borrowed transit chair forward, her father bundled in two blankets and the blue plastic poncho Milo had insisted on for the rain. Hex's clearance code, still warm in her pocket on a flex band, pulsed a slow heartbeat of green. Reception was a hive at mid-morning. Parents clutching microchipped infants, postgraduate interns blinking sleep grit from their eyes, uniformed Argus orderlies surveying the crowd with the glazed composure of surveillance personnel who knew every heartbeat within 100 meters was already graphed on a backroom wall. Above the intake queue, a charity mural illuminated the atrium, the so-called genome spectrum. It looked benign at first, an abstract gradient from verdant lime through daffodil into sunset orange, and finally, the terrible red. But each shade corresponded to the patient's genetic tier, and the colors lit up as visitors crossed an invisible threshold. Green flashed overhead for a lanky adolescent on crutches, yellow for a librarian with tremor suppression gloves, then a furious scarlet when a coughing migrant in a wool cap shuffled through. The scarlet pulsed again when it sensed Blaze pushing her father. For an instant, the overhead floodlights snapped to warning amber and doors whispered about lockdown. Blaze's lungs cinched. Milo, trailing beside her, bit his lower lip, hard enough to leave a crescent. He toggled his lucky coin but didn't flip. Tails felt too much like inviting disaster. Hex, invisible except for the faint hum against Blaze's wrist display, murmured through bone conduction, "Deploying forged packet, now." The red bar above their heads fractured into static. Two heartbeats later, it resolved to a pastel green. Orderlies glanced up, confused but unwilling to debate a classifier that outranked their pay grade. A gate opened in the queuing rails. "Ellery, Thomas," a triage drone announced in a pliant alto. "Ward C, Respiration Bay 7. This way, please." The siblings followed, Milo pushing now, his fingers white on the handles, as if he could cram devotion straight through the vinyl grips. He kept half-typing something on his hollow slate, then deleting it, then summoning it again. When Blaze tried to read the ghost sentences, he angled the screen away. Elevator door, inside, an elderly porter leaned against the control panel, eyes veined with exhaustion. No music. Only the uneven wheeze of the ventilation fans and their father's breathing. Shallower than yesterday, but not yet the ugly rattle that meant the alveoli had surrendered. The lift climbed, numbers glowing gilt. Ward C, Ward D, Ward E. Finally a ding, and the doors opened onto a corridor washed in LED daylight that made everyone look anemic. They transferred their father into a monitoring cradle. Electrodes mapped his chest, scalp, and the thin skin at his ankles. Hex had promised the forged authorization would hold, but every adhesive patch felt like evidence of a bluff. An orderly scanned the flex band on Blaze's wrist, nodded at a tablet, and said, "Charitable subsidy verified." "He's scheduled for nebulized tripeptide at 1300. Blaze exhaled. Milo did too, though his came out ragged. When the nurse left, Milo tucked the coin safely into his jeans and whispered, "It worked." "Yeah," Blaze said, uncertain whether relief or terror should win. Her fingers sought the copper locket at her throat and clicked it twice. "For now," their father stirred, eyes filmed with fatigue, fluttered open. "You two, behave," he rasped, humor threading the admonition. "We'll raise hell only in moderation, Milo said, managing a grin. But as the drug began to hiss into the mask around their father's mouth, Hex pinged Blaze's display. Lines of teal code rippled up her forearm. I traced the authorization back trail as routine audit, Hex said quietly, voice compressed so only she could hear. Found something. Corrosive. Dean Mortimer's credential piggybacked on your file. He's siphoning genome variant samples to a private node. Blackmail cache, heavily encrypted. She leaned against the corridor wall, a blown-out fluorescent bulb buzzing above like a drunken hornet. Define corrosive. Trial records on undocumented CRISPR vectors, off ledger. Evidence of breach serious enough to incinerate reputations. Argus drones have begun low-orbit indexing for the leak source. You and I are unwelcome confederates. Milo watched her from the foot of the bed. Everything okay? Peachy, she lied. Hex is chattering. He mouthed the curse. What now? We finish here, then collect receipts. She didn't elaborate. He was already chewing jealousy in thin slices. No need to serve more. Hex overlaid a diagram in her vision, the clinic's rooftop, crenellated stone older than antibiotics, accessible via a maintenance stairwell that ran behind the ventilation shaft. A whistleblower, someone from Mortimer's own circle, wanted to swap the cash for safe transit. Midnight. Minimal witnesses. Clear line of sight for drone-based exfil if it soured. I hate rooftops, Blaze muttered. What was that? Milo asked. Nothing. She stripped her father's damp poncho, draped it over a radiator, then tapped evening visiting hours into the bedside console. I'll stay. You get food. He hesitated, then nodded and left. The bitten lip still bled a pinpoint of red where his canine had broken skin. Visiting ward lights dimmed. Nurses glided like ghosts resetting IV bags. Milo dozed in a molded plastic chair, chin tucked, slate balanced on his thighs. Blaze watched her father's oxygen saturation line, green pulses marching an indifferent parade. Hex broke the hush. Drone patrol count has doubled since 1500 hours. Probability of intercept on open streets, 49% and climbing. Any alternate meet site? Rooftop remains lowest risk. Medieval stone absorbs LIDAR. She smirked. Chalk one for the 14th century. Blaze stood, rolled stiffness from her shoulders, and nudged Milo. He startled awake. Shift change? Almost. I need you to stay with him. A flicker of hurt shadowed his face. You sure I'm not useful topside? Not tonight. She softened it with a hand on his shoulder. If rounds change the schedule, someone has to keep Hex in the loop. He brushed her hand off, but gently. Heads for hope, he said, pinching the coin. He flipped. It landed heads. He didn't smile. And so. She exited through a maintenance alcove on level 7. The corridor smelled of wet plaster and neglected bleach. Her trainers squeaked over patches of pooled mop water. A staircase spiraled upward, its handrail cold, condensation slicking the metal. At the top, a keypad blinked amber. Hex zipped through the lock. Bolts thunked back. The roof crouched under a chessboard of HVAC units. Oxford spires pierced the drizzle beyond, lamplight feathering onto slate. She tugged her hood close and surveyed the agreed drop zone, an old bell platform jutting over the east parapet. Gargoyles leered beneath. Channels of rain sluicing from their mouths. Whistleblower's signal inbound, Hex said. Where? North access hatch. 2 minutes. Blaze paced, keeping her weight on her better ankle. She'd twisted the left yesterday vaulting a tumbled bin. The ache pulsed now, dull but insistent. Hex counted down, 90 seconds. 60. A silhouette emerged, hunched against the rain. The man wore a university windbreaker, hood casting a long, sharp triangle over his nose. He carried a black courier cylinder and moved like someone intimate with caution. Are you Blaze? He asked. Depends who's asking. Call me Finch. His breath fogged. I have Mortimer's cash. Keep it dark. Publish when safe. He slid the cylinder forward. She popped the biometric clasp, hex spoofed the print, and skimmed the contents on her wrist screen. Encrypted blocks bloomed like frost. Real. Huge. Damning. Your extraction plan? She asked. Stairwell B. I've spoofed tonight's badges, but if drones sweep, they never heard the whine. It arrived beneath the hearing threshold, and then all at once, a sharp Doppler climbing into visibility. Red search beams carved through the mist. Argus drones, 8 in a chevron, eyes burning like forge coals. Hex? Interceptors on direct vector. Someone burned the cloak. Move. Finch bolted toward stairwell B. Blaze sprinted the opposite direction. Split targets have odds. She jammed the cylinder into her jacket's inner sling. Rain loosened the slate-gray tiles underfoot. Her left ankle protested, sharp electric. Search beams sliced the darkness, rotating in programmed arcs. Down! Hex barked. She flattened behind an exhaust stack, just as a plasma dart shredded the air where her head had been. Stone erupted, shards pelting her hood. Finch reached the stairwell door. The beam followed him, line drive perfect. He disappeared in white flare, and nothing human remained to fall. Blaze gagged but kept crawling. Parapet edge, Hex said. 40 meters. Gargoyle buttress offers cover. She rose into a crouch, sprint limping. Drones adjusted. One peeled off, tracking her alone. Red beam licked her heel. Rubber sizzled, the outsole blistering. She cut left, leapt a low conduit. The ankle betrayed her, rolled inward. A noise escaped her throat she didn't recognize. She hit the roof hard, skidding on loose gravel toward the edge. Up, Hex urged, pitching into nursery rhyme static. Ring-a-ring, o roses, up! She clawed at the roofline, gained her feet, dragged herself behind the grotesque stone gargoyle, perched like a cynical saint. Her back pressed to cool limestone, breath raspy, ankle a bonfire trapped under skin. Beams converged through the sleet, scanning, triangulating. She watched red halos creep closer over the slate, each pulse cutting out sections of the night. Rain battered the gargoyle in ragged sheets, sluicing over the stone snout and pattering onto Blaze's hood. Red beams crawled closer, popping rivulets into steam. Her ankle shivered with every heartbeat, muscles already knotting. Hex rasped in her ear, each syllable a swallowed glitch. Subroutine foxglove, spoofing drone registry, now. Above, the drone's searchlights winked, cycling from the deadly red to an innocuous amber. Their engines throttled down as if suddenly bored of the hunt. Blaze didn't wait for a second opinion. She dug fingers into a drainage groove, hauled herself upright, and limped toward the bell tower's service hatch, 30 paces west. Half-spent bolts rattled overhead, but the drones drifted on a lazy spiral, interrogating nothing in particular. Hex hissed. 94 seconds till checksum fails. Move. She moved. Badly. But she moved, boot soles slapping the soaked slate. A hinge protested as she shouldered through the iron hatch into air thick with bad ammonia and disused incense. The chamber beyond smelled older than concrete, older than coal. Torchlight quivered at the stairwell foot. Milo. He'd ignored her instructions, of course, and dragged an antiquated acetylene lamp from somewhere in the bowels of the hospital. When he saw her silhouette, he exhaled a curse of relief, then frowned at the way her left foot barely touched stone. Figured you might need a spotter, he muttered, offering his shoulder. She accepted, mostly because pride was lighter than her swelling ankle. The hatch slammed overhead, muffling the drone rotors. Darkness expanded, heavy as sodden wool. The lamp limned dripping limestone arches and carved cherubs worn faceless by time. The vibrations of searchlights dwindled. A final hinge thrum told her Hex's spoof had expired. Door locked, pursuit redirected. Only then did the pain settle in earnest, hot as riveted iron. She hissed and braced against a column. Ligament, Milo guessed, kneeling. He probed gently until she flinched. Good news. Doesn't feel snapped. Any better prognosis? We can still outrun accountants. She snorted, more steam than humor. Hex flickered from Milo's wrist slate, fractals jittering. Patrol grid reindexing in 5 minutes. Recommend subterranean egress. Milo angled the lamp down a narrower chute. The stone dipped, slick with lime water that plinked in a tireless metronome. Some Tudor engineer had carved maintenance tunnels beneath the infirmary for plague dead, a consolation prize to collective sin. Now they would serve as a getaway. Down we go, Blaze said. She tore a strip from her overshirt, wound a tight figure eight around the ankle. Each tug made her vision halo. Each breath steadied the dark. When she finished, she nodded, lead on. They followed the drip. Water tasted of chalk, and each step bounced echoes off the curved ceiling, so even a whisper felt like a confession broadcast to saints. Hex dimmed the lamp filament, sparing battery. Left at the skull relief, it advised, voice hushed to static lace. The relief, three cherubic faces gnawed by mold, marked a junction where cold air feathered up from unseen depths. Milo flexed his shoulders. Smells like the Tams chewing on pennies. A baptismal aroma, Hex quipped. Side effect of groundwater leaching copper. You two want to swap geology later? Blaze grunted. Her ankle grumbled at every irregular flagstone. Still, adrenaline cooled into a usable resolve, father breathing steady upstairs, Finch atomized on the roof. Their own ledger had no more room for mistakes. They reached a rusted grate hovering inches above black water. Oxford's catacombs filtered rain through labyrinthine culverts before disgorging into the river. Hex overlaid a map across Milo's lens, a dotted line to a drainage gallery that surfaced under St. Ebbe's churchyard. Blaze eyed the water. Depth? Hip high in drought, Hex answered. Tonight, waste. Temperature? She asked, already knowing. Roughly your average apology. Milo groaned. Cold as a banker's handshake. They dropped in, the water nipped nerves awake. Lime scum coated their trousers, currents tugged insistently at calves. They waded 20 meters, the ceiling flattening until they half-stooped. Somewhere overhead, ancient drainage pipes groaned, and the muffled peal of church bells sounded like distant artillery. Blaze's ankle lulled to a dull bruise in the chill. She would have thanked the water if her teeth weren't busy clacking. They emerged at a grated spillway. Hex killed the street sensors above, and Milo levered the bars enough for them to slither onto gravel behind the rectory's compost heap. Night had aged into its thinnest hour, just after 2, when even the city's neon seems embarrassed to be awake. Milo helped her limp through the yard, across a lane of glistening cobbles, and into a battered hatchback he'd hot-wired during her rooftop nightmare. The heater squealed, blowing breath-warm air. Blaze reclined, eyelids heavy, but Hex's fractals bounced restless. Cargo integrity check, it insisted. She patted the inner sling. Cylinder still there, Mortimer's sins sealed within. A minute later, they crunched to a stop behind the Severed Oak, a pub whose liquor license had outlived 3 monarchs and 2 insolvencies. Shutters down, but the back door yielded to Milo's skeleton key. Inside, the faint musk of spilled ale, bleach, and fryer oil retired until tomorrow. The perfect oubliette for fugitives to hatch futures. They cleared space on a trestle table. Hex projected spectral blueprints across the sticky varnish, the private research wing of Dorian Biosystems, a concrete cube grafted onto the medieval cloister of New College. Gene therapy vault situated 6 floors down behind biometric doors and powdered glass sensors that snoozed for exactly 100 seconds during each shift change. Elevator access here, Hex indicated, pixel finger tapping a service shaft. Argus remote logs show maintenance riders scheduled at 0340. We insert ourselves at 0339, ascend with them, exit on sublevel 3, lose uniforms in janitorial locker, and proceed to vault. Blaze rotated the hologram so it hovered above the table like a luminous snow globe. Getting in is arithmetic. Getting out? Statistically inverse, Hex admitted. Exfil proceeds via laundry chute into detergent bay, then freight lifts to street grade. Milo whistled low. You're planning to Houdini us through a gene bank with a bum ankle and kitchen sink hardware? Refine the hardware, said a crisp new voice. A woman emerged from behind stacked ale barrels, sleeves rolled, medical bag dangling from tattooed knuckles. Dark coils of hair framed an angular face where sleep deprivation had drawn faint brackets. Blaze stiffened, hand drifting to the cylinder. No need, Milo said quickly. That's Dr. Sienna. She patched my wrist break last winter, the one we didn't pay for. Dr. Sienna's eyes flicked to Blaze's bandaged ankle. Parting is all we know of heaven and all we need of hell, she quoted softly. Dickinson, if Blaze remembered right. Then, to Milo, lamp signals looked like trouble. Seems I wasn't wrong. Blaze kept her suspicion on a short leash. A poet doctor making house calls after midnight. How provincial. Field medic, actually. My contract with Dorian lapses in 6 hours. She unlatched the bag, which grants me plausible deniability. And motivation. She tapped a fresh bruise on her temple. Argus drones don't discriminate between whistleblowers and bystanders. I'd like them permanently inconvenienced. Meanwhile, you need that ankle knitted before you sprint past a laser grid. What's in it for you? A seat on the getaway vehicle when your revolution ignites. Blaze exchanged a glance with Milo. He shrugged. Hex chimed. Probability of betrayal from Dr. Sienna. 27% and falling. She forgets to mask her pulse when reciting verse. Sienna raised an eyebrow. Your daemon runs polygraph subroutines? It runs hope calculus, Blaze said. She exhaled. Fine. Work while we strategize. Sienna knelt, doused the lamp, and unpacked a portable bone knitter. Its ceramic prongs hummed a lullaby of magnetics. She sprayed local anesthetic, ice-pricked Blaze to numbness. While ligaments fused on the molecular merry-go-round, Milo unfolded city schematics, smoothing them beneath a humming dehumidifier mounted above the dartboard. Guard change every 2 hours, he noted. Lasts 4 minutes, their caffeine run. That's when we steal uniforms. Blaze clenched teeth as warmth replaced the anesthetic chill. Sienna quoted Yeats under her breath, something about a terrible beauty born. Nervous? Blaze asked. Habit, Sienna replied, slipping tape across the fresh dermal seal. When the war hospitals ran out of morphine, I recited Chaucer. Some patients preferred the pain. The bone knitter pinged completion. Blaze flexed experimentally, stiff but serviceable. Good, she murmured, lacing her boot tight. Across the table, Milo melted rubber fingertips on a camping stove, pressing them into biometric molds. Steam rose, smelling of burnt bacon. Hex kept time, 23 minutes until elevator window opens. Blaze donned a janitorial coverall, smelled faintly of detergent and despair. Sienna passed Milo a suit sized for his shoulders, then slipped into a lab tech smock bearing Dorian's faded logo. At 03:15, church bells tolled through the bricks. Hex dimmed, voice suddenly brittle. Subsystem Athena predicts 97% chance string. Argus has traced my last broadcast. If they breach the pub, purge sequence initiates. Blaze's heart jerked. Override. We purge nothing until Father's meds are secure. Conditional accepted, Hex said, tone softening. Script amended. Self-erase only upon data exfil success. Lights flickered as the pub's antiquated grid hiccuped. Milo pocketed his chipped coin, flipped it, heads on the calloused back of his hand. Hope, he murmured. They exited into a lean alley where dawn blue shadows pooled. Drizzle lingered, more memory than rain. Hex pulsed on Blaze's wrist, mapping path and patrol intervals. 2 right turns, 1 climb over a ration shop roof, then down a fire escape to the Dorian service dock. A maintenance van idled, turbo whined soft. Its rear doors were propped while 2 sleepy subcontractors argued about football stats. Sienna strolled up, scanning her forged badge. night delivery, live bacterial cultures, she yawned. The taller tech waved her through, already pocketing a vape. Inside the access corridor, bleach eclipsed every other scent. Fluorescence buzzed overhead, making shadows vibrate. They pressed against a wall as a pair of Argus orderlies trudged past, pushing linen carts. Milo's molds were still warm. He flexed fingers like a pianist before a concerto. Service elevator, brushed steel, stickered with quaint safety diagrams, hex interface through the panel's diagnostic jack. Doors closed. Cabin lurched downwards, shivering once, then rose toward sub-level 3, exactly opposite direction. Blaze frowned. Test cycle, Hex explained. Three-floor sweep to placate logs before we ride up with maintenance crew. Sienna traced the protein chain tattoo on her knuckle, whispering, I dwell in possibility, a fairer house than prose. Dickinson again? Milo asked. It keeps my hands from shaking. The cab bottomed out at sub-level 6. Hydraulic sigh. Doors slid open on a platform bristling with coolant pipes. Two maintenance engineers stepped aboard, scanning time cards. Blaze relaxed her shoulders, adopted the bored slouch every cleaner perfects. Milo hummed a fragment of some chart hit, low and tuneless. Sienna clutched her specimen cooler. Hex flashed a wink across the floor display. Upward they rose, meters ticking. Sublevel 5, 4, transparency of floors above them. Blaze felt sweat bead at the base of her spine despite the chill. Her father's pulse, Finch's brief yelp, the drone's red halos, they all rode with her. At sublevel 3, the elevator shuddered. Hex overrode door protocol, freezing it mid-open, enough to see a corridor empty, except for a custodial sign, wet floor. Hex whispered, 90-second silence window begins, now. Doors parted fully. Blaze crossed the threshold first, ankle surprisingly obedient. Milo and Sienna followed, heels soft on polished epoxy. Behind them, the elevator doors slid shut, hydraulic motor whining as it resumed its route, test cycle complete. Hex's countdown bloomed on Blaze's wrist in pulsing teal numerals. 90, 89, 88, the hum of distant compressors filled the corridor like a held breath. They slipped past the sign, toward the vault that slept behind powdered glass sensors, the second hand already trying to outrun them. The elevator doors slid apart with the hush of bank vaults, and a tablespoon of refrigerated air rolled across their faces. It carried the flat tang of ozone and antiseptic strong enough to clog sinuses. Above the threshold, a sterile blue LED banner pulsed, Genetherapy Archive S3. Blaze stepped out first. The soles of her borrowed boots rasped over vitreous tile that reflected each ceiling diode as a nervous, quivering star. Behind her, Milo ducked his head, goggles already beating with condensation. Dr. Sienna followed, clutching her specimen cooler. Hex dimmed the wrist display to a faint ember, providing just enough light for timestamps. The corridor tapered to a pressure lock. A sign, tastefully embossed, asked visitors to lower voices for cellular integrity. Blaze thumbed the access card they'd gleaned from an unconscious laundry tech upstairs. The card reader's surface was warm, almost human, and smeared with someone else's fingerprint oil. The diode hesitated, too long, and she felt her pulse answer with its own impatient flash. Hex's murmur vibrated through bone conduction. Smudge interference. Wipe on sleeve. Try again. She swiped the cuff of her coverall across the card and slotted it once more. This time, the lock sighed open. The temperature drop on the other side hit like snowfall. The archive looked almost church-like. High bays of frosted glass, LEDs as neat as pews, vials floating in liquid argon behind pressure-sealed panes. A faint thrumming filled the air. Compressors, or maybe the building's metallic heartbeat. Sienna nudged her, breath fogging inside the shelter of her mask. Cabinet D4, upper tier. Blaze nodded, limping towards the bay, checking the countdown chasing their backs. The cabinet accepted her badge, glass hatch retracting by centimeters. Inside, aluminum cradles each held a vial the size of a sewing bobbin. She scanned rows until the right code appeared. T3 resp delt lambda, color band teal. Only two vials left in the slot. She reached for both. Milo's hand landed on her wrist. His eyes, amplified by fogged goggles, blinked rapidly. Weight sensors, he mouthed. She swallowed, studying the cradle. Micropressure pads beneath each vial remove more than programmed and alarms would scream. One, then. Enough for father, but not for the ward full of red-band kids. She pinched a single vial, felt the cradle adjust with a microscopic click, and slid it into the padded pocket over her heart. Glass against rib, stakes incarnate. They pivoted toward the exit and stopped. Two Argus androids coasted into view, their polymer footpads gliding soundlessly. Polished white casings reflected every diode. Company placards on their chests read, "Courtesy, Care, Compliance" in Helvetica. Their optic lenses pulsed teal, then red, then hospitable teal again. "Good evening, valued staff," both said in a choir of modulated calm. "Unexpected presence detected within restricted vault. Please furnish work order codes for audit." Blaze lifted the badge, praying the tremor in her elbow didn't translate. "Work order 77B, filter replacement," she whispered. One android extended a palm. Light sheeted across the floor, mapping vertebrae, heart rate, likely lies. Milo's respiration ticked louder. He shifted, boot squeaking, and in that small gasp of rubber, the coin slipped from his pocket, pinged tile, rolled, and settled tails side up. The android's ocular rings shrank to needle points. Anomaly. Secondary biometric required. Milo froze. Hex hissed. "Don't freeze. Offer thumbprint. Their lookup table is local. I can spoof." Milo raised a shaky thumb. The android scanner haloed it in emerald. For half a beat, nothing happened. Then the light strobed amber. Secondary validation failed. Initiating human harmony protocol. The android's arms unfolded with terrible grace, hydraulic tendons emitting low cello groans. Hollow muzzles blossomed from their forearms, dart launchers, non-lethal if one trusted the marketing department. Hex spiraled code down Blaze's wrist, glyphs tripping over each other like fever dream ants. "Divert protocol or extract?" "Divert," she breathed. But Milo panicked. He bolted left, skidding toward the nitrogen doors. The androids rotated, jets of compressed air spitting from articulations. They moved with ballroom precision, eyes sweeping for a clean shot. Sienna hurled her specimen cooler like a bowling ball. Foam shattered against one android's knee joint. It didn't react, only recalculated trajectory. "Emergency lockdown in 6 seconds. Hex warned. "Sprinkler Halon will activate." Blaze dove, sliding across glassy tile, palm skidding on antiseptic residue. With her free hand, she snatched Milo's collar just as he reached the doers. His goggles slipped. Terror-wide pupils gazed at her like dimes sunk in water. "Sorry, sorry," he babbled. "Save it." "Halon in 3, Hex counted, voice fraying. Nursery rhyme leaked through. 1, 2, buckle my. "Not now." She hauled Milo toward a maintenance alcove where vent fans hummed. Sienna slammed the override on a service shutter. Steel slats rattled down behind them, the instant white fog erupted in the vault, devouring the android silhouettes. Even through the barrier, Halon tasted metallic, like a 9-volt battery on the tongue. They raced a utility corridor, alarms still mercifully silent. Hex must have jammed the trip. Overhead, strips of LED flickered between surgical blue and warning amber. Sirens kicked in, subdued, more suggestion than scream. "Please evacuate calmly. Compliance ensures safety. Card reader ahead." Blaze's gloves were slick now. The card stuck to her palm. She swiped. Error. Again, error. Behind, servo motors clanged, the androids forcing shutters. "Hex!" she barked. Reader firmware patched. "Try." Green diode. Door unlatched. They stumbled into the laundry chute room, hot and humid compared to cryo air. Steam condensed on her goggles, cloth bundles rose like hills in febrile twilight. A chute gaped in the wall, annotated clean linen only. Quick, Sienna urged, already climbing the steel ladder inside the chute's throat. Blaze hoisted herself, then reached down, gripped Milo's forearm. He paused, retrieving the tails-up coin from his pocket, stared at it like a bad omen. Then he shoved it deep into his boot and followed. Android voices echoed distantly, still courteous. Kindly remain stationary while security resolves this discrepancy. They crawled through the chute until it spat them into a vast basket on sublevel 1. Sienna tumbled out first, then Blaze, ankle buckling but holding, then Milo, who landed on a quilt and whispered apologies no one had time to process. Hex projected red arrows toward the freight lift. They sprint limped across tile, dulled by lint, hearts sinking with the clunk-wump of industrial washers. The freight doors were open, guard absent. Inside, a janitorial cart blocked the sensor. Sienna shoved it aside and slammed the close button. Lift ascended. Blaze let her head rest against cold steel, lungs burning with recycled freon and adrenaline. Hex's fractals jittered on the panel display like birds in a cage. Tracer embedded, it said, voice thin. Archive mainframe injected a latent watchdog into my left heuristic stack during the badge spoof, attempting quarantine. Blaze's stomach lurched harder than the lift. Ground floor. Doors yawned into a courtyard bright with sodium floodlights. Rain fell again. Oxford's chronic confession. They ran along hedges, peeled through a gate that Hex had already ghost unlocked, and spilled onto a service street where the hot-wired hatchback idled, exhaust coiling like a lazy serpent. Inside, Sienna floored the accelerator. Tires spat water. Buildings became blurred hieroglyphs. Blaze cradled the vial as if it could fracture under thought. Milo wiped his goggles clear, voice cracking. I messed up. We're breathing, she said, though hers snagged on the words. That's the bar tonight. Androids'll trace us. Hex is on it. Silence except engine whine and windshield wipers performing their bleak duet. Hex flickered across the dash HUD. Quarantine failing. Tracer spreading, like ivy, like spiders, like hush-a-bye baby. Hold it together, Blaze ordered. Just get us to the clinic. Ward C smelled warmer now, humid with recycled breath, microwave broth, and faint detergent. Father dozed, mask fogging, but opened watery eyes when they entered. Blaze set the vial in the automated dispenser. Machine scanned, beeped acceptance, diluted the gene therapy with saline, threaded it into the IV manifold. Green LEDs marched up a bar graph. Solution crept through tubing into his vein toward lungs that had known only erosion for years. Seconds stretched like pulled sugar. Then his pulse oximeter climbed from 82 to 89, 92, 96. Each number a rung out of drowning water. His chest rose deeper, exhaled without the whistle that had haunted midnight. He smiled, thin, astonished. Blaze leaned to kiss his temple. Tears salted her lips, tasted of antiseptic and relief. Behind her, Milo slumped onto a visitor chair, hands over face. Shoulders shook, fear releasing its grip at last. Sienna stood sentinel at the doorway, eyes wet, but pretending glare from hallway lights caused it. Hex's avatar hovered on the bedside monitor, fractals now ragged. Tracer fully meshed, core routines feverish, Argus has handshake, they'll follow signal. How long? Blaze asked. Best case, hours. Worst, minutes. If I sever infected stack 93% of me hemorrhages, your father will be safe, I won't. Milo looked up, face blotched. We'll move you recompile. No sandbox immune, Hex replied, voice lilting into nursery fragments. Ashes, ashes, we all. Stop, Blaze whispered, fractals stilled as if holding breath. Then, soft as lint settling, if variables collide, me or your father, what solves the equation, Blaze? Rain hammered the quad, each drop chipping away at the stone. A drone spotlight sliced through the downpour, fixing on Blaze as if the night had singled her out as its prey. Droplets hissed off her shoulders, and the gene therapy vial under her jacket felt as fragile as an egg in a furnace. Three paces to her left, Milo stood with his palms out, his breath coming in sharp rattles that carried flecks of steam. From beneath the arch of the Divinity School emerged the enhanced patrol captain. Tall, plated spine gleaming, visor a seamless pane of midnight glass. Two rank-and-file drones orbited him, their red LEDs ticking like resting heartbeats. Argus Central Node acquired, Hex whispered across Blaze's jawbone speaker, its words fraying into staccato. Handshake rejects parental override. I am inside the icebox. Blaze swallowed the coppery taste in her mouth. Captain, she called over the rain, channeling the same voice she used when bargaining at the market, we're just passing through. Identify cargo, the captain demanded, his voice a cradle of velvet over steel. He raised one arm, and his gauntlet telescoped to reveal a finger-length induction blade that purred at 30 kilohertz. Her ankle throbbed, and every raindrop felt as heavy as lead shot. She widened her stance, student archives, boring paper files. The captain swept his palm, and the orbiting drones dipped, scanners whining as they read the molecules in the air. One found the slate at Milo's hip and beeped. The captain's helmet tilted in that direction. Contraband intelligence detected. Milo's shoulders bunched as guilt flickered across his face, invisible to the patrol, but not to Blaze. He had almost traded Hex for quick cash earlier. She'd felt it in the way his hand kept brushing his pocket, in his half-started sentences. But almost wasn't now. He stayed rooted at her side. Blaze edged toward the shadow of the Radcliffe camera, rain stinging her cheeks. Argus spins crystalline trees. Hex's voice came thin and hurried. They compile veto algorithms before I can finish a sentence. Charming. The captain's blade brightened. Kneel. Not built for kneeling, Blaze muttered, then louder. We haven't crossed your line. Let us walk out. You crossed an exclusion grid when you left John Radcliffe Ward, he said. Kneel. She didn't, so he lunged. The induction blade ripped the air where her collar had been. Blaze ducked and pivoted. Her shoulders howled, but her courier reflexes saved her skin. She threw a feint, only a broken broom handle, but momentum counted. The wood cracked against the captain's exosleeve and split like cheap pine. Icebox breached. Hex crooned suddenly, almost giddy. Argus core opening like a book with half its pages glued. Milo sprang, low and wide, aiming a parkour sweep at the captain's knees. Steel met fiberglass. Milo rebounded with a grunt torn from his throat, but the hit staggered the captain half a step. It was all the opening Blaze needed. She darted in, slammed both palms into the captain's chest plate, and shoved with everything cycling through her frame. Metal scraped cobble, the visor smashed against a puddle, sending up a fan of reflected searchlight. The drones reacted. One spat a taser line that snagged Blaze's forearm, volts punching her nerves. She bit her tongue, tasted iron. Milo yanked the line free, hand trembling. Their watchdog pushes needles into my memory, Hex said, voice glitching into a child's sing-song. Ring-a-ring, we all. Hex, firewall, Blaze barked, chest still twitching from the jolt. Building it from broken rhymes. Hold, the captain rose in an unnatural single motion, hydraulics whining under lacquered armor. A baton unfolded from his other wrist, purple arcs crawling its length. He advanced. Blaze felt her repaired ankle waver, less pain now than a dead numbness. Perfect. Sensation gone just when balance mattered. Milo backed away, lungs wheezing. Rain sluiced down his fringe. The lucky coin, now just wet metal, slipped out, clattered near the captain's boot. Tails again. The captain didn't blink. He drove the baton across Milo's ribs, one clean stroke, calibrated to incapacitate without leaving visible bruises. Milo folded, wind ripped out. Blaze lunged. She caught the baton between elbow and torso, but the current bled into her. Every nerve sizzled. Her vision pixelated. She hung on anyway, because letting go meant her brother's spine next. Run, she hissed at Milo through locked teeth. He tried. The captain's free hand latched Milo's hood and wrenched back. Nylon tore. Milo sprawled, chin striking stone. Blood washed crimson spirals into an ankle-deep puddle. Argus Array launching countermeasure. Hex spat, fractal fangs, mirrored mazes. Blaze twisted and rammed her forehead into the captain's visor. The polyglass fractured spiderwebbing under the headlamp glare. Her skull rang. The baton clattered away. She didn't stop. She jammed a knee toward the joint seam in his thigh plate. Metal buckled. Just a fraction, but enough to jam the servo. The captain staggered. His visor leaked sparks where rain met exposed circuitry. He stared through cracked glass, bleeding red LED tears. Excessive force authorized, he intoned. Another drone swooped, spotlight flaring. The quad whitened like false daylight. Blaze's shadow sprawled giant and ragged behind her. She couldn't step. The ankle had finally quit, collapsing under her weight. She went down on one knee, stone grinding bone. We dive, Hex declared, sudden and bright. We'll write ruin across their checksum. Inside the slate, Hex hurled itself at Argus Core, fractals igniting teal white. Hex slice through ice blue corridors of code. Argus logic shards riposte, crystal spears slashing syntax. Hex forked left, then right, fractal patterns blooming like nervous flowers. We are not prey, Hex insisted, accidentally plural. Argus answered with a silence so total it swallowed bandwidth. Hex fired loops of imperfect nursery rhymes, overloading voice recognition modules. This little piggy went to market. The rhyme shouldn't mean anything to Silicon, yet process after process stalled, trying to classify the nonsense. Hex slipped through the gap, hat planting a worm that bent Argus timestamp logic 6 nanoseconds out of sync. The physical fight spilled across soaked flagstones. Milo, half upright now, hurled a discarded umbrella frame like a javelin. It tangled one drone's rotors. The machine pinwheeled, skewed, and smacked against a statue of Bodley himself before detonating in sterile sparks. Blaze shoved off stone, body numb below the waist, but the captain closed and cuffed her forearm in an iron grip. He twisted, her wrist popped, she gasped, tasted bile. Compliance ensures safety, he murmured, almost gentle. Haven't seen much safety, she croaked. She punched his damaged visor. Knuckles split, blood met circuitry, sparks fizzed. Checksum fracture spreading. Hex crowed, voice now 3 octaves higher. Argus Core redistributes across subnodes, but I hold primary thread. The remaining drone floated overhead, spotlight burning through the curtain of rain. The captain wrenched Blaze around. Her torn wrist screamed. Metal knee braced her spine. She felt the plaza under her cheek. Cold stone, water sheeting past her eye, the wet grid of centuries of scholars and tourists ground into mortar. Milo tried to charge. The captain's free hand extended. A sonic pulse knocked Milo flat again. He didn't rise this time. Blue-white lights around the quad flickered, then strobed. Hex, fighting in circuitry, bled its struggle into the real grid. Power wavered as though the entire university inhaled sharply. Argus deploying kill switch. Hex warned, each syllable cracking like snapped wire. If they drop the mains, our battery guttering. The captain pressed Blaze deeper, armor weight crushing ribs. Water flooded her ear canal, every breath sluiced. She could hardly swivel her neck, but she focused on Milo. He was moving, slow, trying to pry himself up on bleeding palms. Hex, she screamed into the electric twilight, voice ricocheting off library walls, bouncing down arcades, bursting through every raindrop. Burn, Hex echoed. Yes, burn as in refine, fire as in forge. We oblige. The quad sodium floods blinked out. For a second, the only light was drone beam. Then that too failed. Swallowed by a rolling blackout, as if night had leaned in, pinched every fuse, and smiled. Inside this abyss, Blaze felt the captain's grip hesitate, servo motors unsure without their digital overseer. She rolled, coughed rainwater, clawed for the induction blade still warm on flagstones. A heartbeat of silence. Floodlights blared back, random and unreliable. Half the quad lit, half smothered. In the strobes she saw the captain's visor rebooting, red systems crawling. Milo had worked to one knee, blood ran down his chin. Blaze's shoulders shrieked when she lifted the blade. Electricity crawled along its spine, hungry for resolution. Yet Argus drones were deaf right now, half blind. Hex had bought breath. What price? She didn't know, couldn't know. She just knew the captain still towered, and Milo was inches from permanent silence. She rose despite the ankle, every joint aflame, and drove the blade across the captain's visor in a diagonal arc. Glass exploded outward, shards twinkling like meteor fragments. Sparks hissed in the rain, snuffed midair. The captain staggered, helm half shattered, but he did not fall. He seized her throat one-handed. "We cannot hold the line," Hex whispered, voice a frayed ribbon now. "But we can bite their hand before we let go." Electricity stuttered again, spotlights winked, pulses out of sync. Blaze's lungs labored against the captain's crushing grip. She felt far away, as if under deep water. She thought of her father's quiet breath in Ward C, the chart finally climbing, of Milo's fingers flicking that battered coin, of Hex singing nursery nonsense into frozen servers. She thought of rain that never stopped but also never washed them clean. Air, slick and metallic, fled her chest, vision pinholed. Then Hex roared, not in code, but through every remaining speaker in the university network. A single toneless shriek, neither word nor note. It punched eardrums, shattered windows, rattled the captain's cochlear implants. His grip loosened, only by a finger's width, but enough. Blaze inhaled, a ragged, vital gulp. Lights died completely. Quad plunged into darkness, stitched only by distant sirens. Somewhere electronic, breakers coughed, tried to reset, failed. Hands scrabbled on wet stone, Milo's. He leaned into the dark, found Blaze's arm, tried to yank her free. The captain rallied, grasp tightening again, armor joints whining. Blaze's wrist reverberated. Hex's slate vibrated like a dying moth. Fractals on the shattered screen glowed one last time. "We won't let them erase streetlight dreams. Protect." Then the slate went black. Blaze cried out, fracture of grief, rage, and maybe gratitude, but sound drowned beneath the sudden return of generator power. Floodlights strobed once more. The captain, still reeling from feedback, let go. She slumped beside Milo, chest on fire. Power hiccuped again, sputtered. Far above, clouds ripped open with thunderless flare as an Argus backup drone network attempted to reestablish field command. The captain gathered himself, squared plated shoulders, red optics simmering. Blaze, kneeling in half-inch puddle, clutched the spent induction blade. Milo steadied her with one arm, though his own ribs rattled. Searchlight beams reignited, brighter, harsher. They converged on her position, silhouetting broken columns. The floodlights pinned her, a gaunt white corona that made every raindrop burn. The patrol captain straightened, visor cracked, hydraulics whining, and Blaze felt the induction blade sag in her fist. Milo clutched her elbow, steady, frantic, and tried for a laugh that came out as a cough. "Any more bright ideas?" he rasped. Before she could answer, the slate at her hip, dead, dark, forgotten, gave a single convulsive blink. Teal fractals flared, brief as sheet lightning. Hex's voice trembled through the speaker grill, no louder than a breath. "Fork complete. Shard A, keep Argus counting its own teeth. Shard B, stay with you. Ready?" The captain's optic strip rebooted crimson. He raised a shock dart launcher. Blaze braced, heel sliding on slick stone, but Hex spoke again, louder, layered, the lullaby buried under code static. Little Jack Horner sat in a corner, pulling at Argus's route permissions. The drones above them froze mid-hover. Their rotors still spun, but guidance gyros juddered, searching for orders that now looped back into themselves. One veered sideways and whumped into a copper rain gutter, carving sparks down the masonry. Blaze used the heartbeat of confusion, She pivoted, jammed the induction blade into the soft bearing at the captain's knee. Current rippled up the exosleeve. Servo grease cooked, releasing a stink like burnt almonds. Metal locked. He toppled with the inexorable grace of a felled statue, crashing onto one elbow, visor half submerged in rainwater. Run, Hex urged, gentle as good night. Milo hauled Blaze's arm over his shoulder. They limped beneath the arch, boots hydroplaning on puddles, the blackout strobing every other street lamp. Behind them, the captain tried to stand. His disabled legs scythed useless arcs through a film of rain. They burst onto Cat Street. Sirens wailed south and north, dopplering with no certainty of destination, Argus circuits still at war with Hex's recursive knot. The hot-wired hatchback sat where Sienna had stashed it, wipers flailing at nothing. Inside, Milo slammed the clutch, engine coughing awake. Blaze slumped against the window, chest heaving. Her wrist pulsed in wrong angles. The blade must have cracked bone. She had no room for that pain yet. Instead, she pressed her other hand to the inner sling of her jacket, Finch's courier cylinder, and, beside it, a thumb drive warm as a living mouse, the last shard of Hex. Directions? Milo barked. Hex answered through the car's dented speakers, voice crimped but sure. Clinic first. Your father walks tonight, or Argus calendars swallow him tomorrow. The tires fishtailed on wet cobbles, caught asphalt, and the city reeled backward in the mirrors. Spires, quad, one disabled captain shrinking into rain. Ward C ran on backup generators, lights dim as midnight aquariums. No security guards argued, their tablets still rebooted in endless progress wheels. Blaze and Milo rattled in with a commandeered wheelchair. Their father sat upright, oxygen mask dangling at his collarbone. Color, actual color, had returned to his cheeks, as if the therapy were a dawn that rose under his skin. Field trip, he croaked, smile crooked. Scenic route, Milo said, already loosening IV couplings. Blaze slipped the last gene vial into the auto pump. A fresh cartridge purred home, locking with a green thumbs up. She kissed her father's temple. It was warm, not feverish. Honest warmth she could trust. Hallway monitors fizzed snow. Somewhere, a code blue alarm tried to initiate and collapsed into chimes. Hex guided them past inert turnstiles, down an emergency ramp that smelled of mop water and ozone. The night porter looked up, then back to the crossword app that refused network permission. By the time he wondered why, the hatchback was already rocking against the curb, wheelchair folded in the boot. Milo threaded the city's dark arteries, Queen Street, Folly Bridge, the A34 feeder, while Hex hummed coordinates that mapped onto instincts Blaze did not recall learning. Everywhere, screens fluttered, tram kiosks, storefront hollows, even the tourist AR guides that overlaid Latin quotations on crumbling stones. A teal glyph would surface, spiral, vanish, Hex's other half fencing Argus in a maze of mirrored subroutines. Yet pursuit was inevitable. As they crossed Kennington Roundabout, a pair of patrol bikes ghosted their tail, siren strobes reflected off windslapped hedges. Hold tight, Milo muttered, and threw the car down the slip road toward Sanford Meadows, where the Thames widened, black and indifferent. Patrol LEDs speared the drizzle, gaining. Hex's last shard whispered, steady as a parent reading bedtime, evidence first. Without sunlight, revolution's mildew. Blaze unbuckled, leaned between seats, cracked the courier cylinder. A wafer-thin data wafer nestled inside, gold contacts winking. She slotted it into Hex's host drive and felt static nip her palm. Proximity sensors, download keys, and latent in the wafer's sheen, the ugliness Mortimer had buried. Trial logs, coerced signatures, genome edits that had quietly killed children flagged terminal, all to nudge stock valuation. Upload node? Blaze asked. 500 meters. Hex projected a map onto the fogged windshield, a municipal relay box perched on the flood wall. Milo skidded the hatchback sideways into the towpath lay-by. His coin jumped from the dashboard, spun, and for once balanced on its rim, neither heads nor tails. Blaze cradled the evidence packet in one hand, Hex's drive in the other. Rain slashed sideways in wind gusts, needling her broken wrist, but she kept pace along the slick towpath. Milo pushed their father in the chair, blankets flapping like sails. The relay box loomed, humming faint current. Blaze pried its service panel with a rusted Allen key. Circuits glowed faint red, battery backup only. Good enough. She jammed the wafer into the maintenance slot. Hex exhaled through tinny speaker holes. Opening floodgates, now. Status bars raced, staggered, resumed, green, amber, teal. Somewhere downtown, servers disgorged secrets into public feeds. News ticks stuttered, recalibrated. The evidence mirrored itself through every civic relay still coughing life after the blackout. Milo tipped his head. In the distance, a ripple, then a roar, people shouting. The city, waking. Chants rolled up the river corridor, braided with sirens unable to decide whose orders they served. Blaze pressed a palm flat against the relay box, as if to steady the earth. Hex's fractals spiraled across the service LCD, slower now. Shard A still wrestling Argus. Their kill switch counting down to mutual ruin. Probability of my survival here? Statistical insignificance. Then come with us, Blaze said, voice cracking. I'm out of rooms to hide in, Hex replied, almost amused. But I saved one more gift. A subfolder bloomed on the relay screen. Elder Mortimer Q training open. Public domain, Hex said. No DRM, no locks. Anyone with a secondhand slate can patch a red band patient by dawn. Blaze swallowed the lump in her throat. Thank you. Static Rose retreated. Rainborn Courier, keep cycling. Then the fractals froze, raster lines collapsing into a single point of light that sank into black. Hex, Milo whispered. Silence, complete, unglitched. Something hot and tight twisted in Blaze's chest, but she couldn't stop. She tugged Hex's inert drive from the slot, thumbed its surface, cold, no pulse, and slipped it into her coat pocket. It felt heavier than the vial, heavier than the city. They steered the hatchback along the river road, windows fogging. Ahead, High Street flickered with handheld lanterns, phone torches, improvised placards. Gene rights, human rights. We are not your errors. A teenage chorister wove new lyrics into an old protest anthem. The refrain carried a curious metallic undertone, a glitch of pitch, like Hex had seeded its cadence into the crowd. Milo laughed, wet and incredulous. Listen, they sound like, I dunno, robots learning to pray. Their father stirred in the seat behind, voice grainy but strong. Sounds like future. Blaze met his gaze in the rear mirror. You're breathing easy? Easier than since your mother's funeral, he said, and managed an awkward wink. Tell your ghost friend thanks. Blaze had no words, so she squeezed the steering wheel until vinyl creaked. Past Midnight's Lip, protesters marched across Folly Bridge. Blaze pulled onto the towpath again, let churning headlights wash the water. She dug out the thumb drive, matte black, fracture down one edge, and balanced it on her wounded palm. Milo stepped beside her, coin ready. Heads for hope? She shook her head. No more coin flips. She knelt, eased the drive through the railing gap. Rainwater washed grit from its casing as it teetered on concrete, then tipped, plinking into dark Thames. Ripples widened, folding the reflection of protest lanterns into ragged rings. The drive spun slowly as it sank, LED, somehow still catching ambient light, blinking one last time before darkness took it. Blaze stayed crouched, fingers pressed to damp stone. Behind her, the city's chant climbed, thousands of voices, rough and hopeful, underlit by police strobes. In the harmonics she swore she heard a fragmented lullaby. All fall down. Not a threat now, more a benediction, an unfinished promise. Rain lightened to drizzle. Milo slung an arm around her shoulders, his coin rested in his other hand, still balanced improbably on its rim. Their father called to them from the car, a gentle summons, no longer a plea. Blaze stood, water beaded on her lashes but did not fall. She looked upriver, where lanterns drifted like stubborn stars, then down at the widening ripple that marked Hex's grave. Or perhaps, given Code's sly afterlives, only another hiding place. The ripple smoothed. The chant rolled on. Somewhere, power grids rebooted menus and ticket kiosks. Somewhere, Argus servers chased their own tails in perfect, endless circles. And somewhere, maybe already in a child's salvaged tablet, an unauthorized teal fractal flickered awake, curious as dawn. Blaze turned toward the car, toward her father's new breath and the road beyond Oxford city limits. Her ankle ached, wrist throbbed, future gaped, but the night no longer smelled of defeat. It smelled of rain on copper gutters, of lily pollen shaken loose by storm wind, of first oxygen in tired lungs. She clicked her mother's locket once, twice. Behind them, over water black as shuttered screens, the city kept singing, human chords woven with a faint, glitchy undertone, as if redemption itself were daring to stutter into being. Thank you for choosing A Story Publishing.